The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, it's Wednesday, August 15th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end senseless marijuana prohibition in America. Make a donation or join Normal today right up online at norml.org. 70 years of cannabis prohibition, folks. It will not end without your help. So make sure you join Normal today and help end prohibition. It's easy to join and make your donation. Heck, you can even get some cool stuff out of it, like a gold marijuana pin. It's all up online at norml.org. We have a great show for you here today. We're going to have Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our regular cannabis science segment discussing new research out in the Journal of Addictive Behaviors. And also here today, we're going to have some more audio from the Austin Freedom Fest. We'll hear Valerie Correll's on-stage talk. Valerie Correll, the co-director, co-founder of the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, one of the beneficiaries of the Austin Freedom Fest. Valerie was here on the program last week with a just spectacular interview right here on the program. You can look that up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. And Valerie gave a great talk on stage. We'll hear that later on in the show today. Also today, our on-the-spot interview with Josh Shinberg, the director of Texas Normal, at the Normal table at the Austin Freedom Fest. Josh did a great job along with the folks at Houston Normal and Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. All were there and had a great Normal presence at the event. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to have our Hemp Fest warm-up, and next week we're going to have some exclusive audio from Hemp Fest itself, folks. Hemp Fest happening at Myrtle Edwards Park on Saturday and Sunday. You can find out more information about the event at hempfest.org. Make sure you support Hemp Fest, even if you can't make it out there, and join the hundreds of thousands of folks who will be at Myrtle Edwards Park. Make a donation to Hemp Fest so that it can go on and get even bigger every single year. The largest marijuana reform rally in the United States, one of the largest open-air music festivals in the world, Seattle Hemp Fest. Again, more information at hempfest.org. We're going to speak with Russ Belville, Radical Russ Belville, who's got his own progressive radio show there in Portland, Oregon. Russ will be at Hemp Fest doing a couple of call-ins as well. We're going to also speak with Vivian McPeak, the director of Hemp Fest and Washington Normal. And later on in the week, we're going to have more music. Oh, today we've got some great music. Hemp Fest isn't the only event you need to put on your calendar. In September, there is the Boston Freedom Rally for all of the East Coasters up there in Boston, sponsored by MassCan and Normal of Massachusetts. You can check that out. We've got links to the Boston Freedom Rally up on our website today as well at normalaudiostash.com. And also, folks, well, don't forget the National Normal Conference happening in Los Angeles October 12th and 13th. It really is going to be an amazing normal conference this year with all of the things that have been happening in Los Angeles lately. It's going to be an important time for reformers to come together in Los Angeles this year for the National Normal Conference. And in honor of that, we've got a great song from the Distillers, like one of my favorite Podsafe groups ever. Really one of the greatest punk bands. Such a great voice on Brody there. So the Distillers will be here today. We've also got some music from David Peel and the 360s here on the program, all here in your Daily Audio Stash, Normal's Daily Audio Stash podcast. Don't forget to vote for us at podcastalley.com. We always appreciate your support. Let's get the show started today with our cannabis science segment. Joining us each Wednesday here on the Audio Stash is Dr. Mitch Earlywine with our Cannabis Science segment. Mitch is professor of psychology at State University of New York. He's author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book, Pot Politics. We have links to the books at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch also has a new monthly column in High Times magazine. Check that out. It's Ask Dr. Mitch. Mitch, welcome back to the program today.
Oh, great to be back, Chris.
Great to speak with you this week, Mitch. We're going to get to the start of school again this year very soon. Traditionally, this is when the ONDCP and the DEA start spinning the propaganda. Last year, they tried to link marijuana with violence, which we all know to be a complete lie. But new scientific data published in the journal Addictive Behaviors, along with other research, proves that there is absolutely no link between marijuana and violence. Tell us a little bit about this new study.
In fact, they have a neat set of data coming out from Canada, basically trying to predict violence in treatment clients. So these are the folks who are the most problematic users of cocaine, cannabis, and alcohol. And they asked them, you know, about the drugs they use and then about different violent acts that they've committed. And although at first glance it looks like, oh, gee, cannabis and violence are correlated, once you take cocaine and alcohol into account, you find the link between cannabis and violence disappears. And we've had laboratory evidence to prove this going all the way back to the 1970s. And in fact, I looked up the old India Hemp Drugs Commission report from 1894, and they came to the exact same conclusion basically over 100 years ago that marijuana is not linked to violence and that we ought to let this idea die. I'm eager to see if the ONDCP brings this one up yet again as our fall onslaught of messages is about to hit.
And what were the drugs that were associated with violence?
Both alcohol and cocaine were significantly correlated with aggressive acts in this sample, even when you took things like disrespect for the law and other stressors and things like that out of the equation. Those effects were still significant. And in fact, I have data showing that once people are drunk on alcohol, not only are they mean to people who provoke them, they're even aggressive towards other people who might just do something by accident, might commit some small little triggering event like step on their foot or something like that. So we see clearly that alcohol is a big, big contributor to violent acts. And this is one of the first samples looking at folks in treatment to also suggest that cocaine may be significantly correlated with aggressive acts.
Now, Mitch, I've seen NIDA data that says over 175 million Americans drink every year. And, you know, we do have these overwhelming problems with violence in urban environments and elsewhere in America. You know, why hasn't that link between alcohol and general violence been explored more here, you know, especially when we want to quell the violence?
I think what has happened is we've sort of accepted this as just something that's going to happen in society forever, and I really feel like it doesn't have to be the case. Some recent work my students Sarah Smucker and Ashley Borders have done suggests that really part of the contributor to alcohol-induced violence is your belief that alcohol will make you violent. And if we could start challenging people and saying, hey, you know, alcohol doesn't have to make you aggressive. You don't have to misinterpret every aggressive act that you see when you're intoxicated, we may get a big impact on this. The other thing is some research I've been trying to get funded through NIAAA would suggest that basically, if you can be a little more self-aware in your setting where you're drinking alcohol, you'll be less likely to be aggressive. So if there are mirrors there, or if you're just more likely to prime your ideas about who you are as a non-aggressive person, as a person who's capable of solving problems without being hostile, suddenly the opportunity is there for these aggressive acts to decrease. And I feel like we could have public service announcements on this that would make a lot more sense than being so high that your dog is talking to you.
You know, Mitch, I've had some really seriously amazing marijuana in my life, and never, ever have I had talking dogs around me. That commercial makes me laugh every time. Mitch, is there something to say here, though, that taking out the legal implications, that if regular people were given a choice between alcohol and cannabis in sort of a sampling environment, would they choose one over the other if both were free from any stigma?
We have some curious data suggesting that folks who are involved with alcohol and heavy drinking early in life are less likely to turn to cannabis. And in treatment settings, you'll often hear alcoholics really resonate with alcohol and say, this is my drug. And problem cannabis users often say, you know, alcohol is okay, but cannabis is really my drug. And Bob Malamy and some other folks have suggested this may say something about things going on at the receptor level, like, hey, maybe you don't have the same cannabinoid receptor or some of the GABA receptors that are involved in alcohol's responses. But I think in some ways a more parsimonious explanation is just availability and expectations around your environment. In certain settings where alcohol is really okay, even teen use of alcohol is okay, then but cannabis is sort of ridiculed or looked down upon or seen as a sign of some lower class thing, then of course those people tend to turn to alcohol rather than cannabis. Yet, as the data keeps showing time and again, the negative consequences for alcohol, even in the short term, are so much more severe than those associated with cannabis that I'm hard-pressed to say that, you know, this is really such a great idea.
Now, Mitch, what about the situation of prohibition overall, both in the nature of the underground economy of marijuana and other substances, as well as the only legal intoxicant being alcohol? How much does all of this in prohibition, how much could it all be contributing to violence in America?
It's curious because the data, mostly from economists and other, you know, sociological researchers, suggests that this might be true in a very sort of limited way. But certainly as alcohol availability increases in the legitimate market, some of the alcohol-induced violence associated with prohibition decrease. So when we look at during alcohol prohibition in the United States, of course, a lot of aggressive acts, particularly murder, were really, really high. And I don't think it was so much people getting liquored up and pulling a pistol on their buddies as folks trying to protect their turf. And this has been a problem with any law that prohibits anything, is you create this underground market where there's really no legal regulation, and so people have to turn to these aggressive acts in order to basically protect their economic investments.
Now, Mitch, I mentioned the amount of alcohol consumers being upward of 175 million annually. That comes from NIDA, the National Institutes of Drug Abuse. They estimate the amount of regular cannabis consumers at only 25 million. At the same time, they say 6,000 people per day try cannabis for the first time. I've often wondered how low those numbers are, and if in fact the amount of regular cannabis consumers doesn't come closer to being equal to the alcohol consumers in America.
Generally, if you're going to have people report on an illegal act, you're going to get more bias in the reporting. I completely understand somebody, you know, having somebody from the National Institute of Health call them on the phone and say, do you smoke pot? And you wanted to say no, because you just don't know these people. And so I think it's fair to say that the cannabis use estimates are underestimates. Nevertheless, in certain settings when you can make the response more anonymous, we don't get the huge magnitude of bias that we often get with things like having unsafe sex or using really hard drugs like heroin or things along those lines. I do think it's important to sort of keep in mind, too, that unfortunately prohibitionists will throw this in our face when we throw this out. So if I say, look, hardly anybody uses cannabis even once a week. If you smoke cannabis once a week, you're in the top 3% of cannabis users in the United States. So what's the worry? Why not release these horrible prohibitions? And people say, oh, no, prohibition is why that number is so low. But in fact, when you do big surveys and ask people, why don't you smoke pot, they usually say, I'm really not interested. It's just not my thing. It's not that they say, oh, I'm afraid of getting arrested, and so I'm quaking in fear, and so I'll never touch it.
All right, Mitch, this again has been a wonderful discussion here. I really appreciate you joining us each week right here on the Audio Stash.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Right on, Mitch. Many thanks again. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York, author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book, Pot Politics. We have links to the books on our website at normalaudiostash.com. And Mitch has a new column in High Times magazine called Ask Dr. Mitch. You can check him out here every Wednesday in our Cannabis Science segment. Stay tuned. We've got some audio from Austin coming up.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up today, we're going to hear Valerie Corrales talk on stage at the Austin Freedom Fest. Valerie is the co-founder and director of the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, or WAM. We have links to them online today at our website at normalaudiostash.com. Here's Valerie in Austin.
Hello again, everyone. For those of you who aren't familiar with WAM, it stands for Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana. And the founder and leader of that group is here tonight. Her name is Valerie Corral. So please join me in giving her a warm welcome, since she is one of the people benefiting from your generosity tonight. So here she is, Valerie Corral.
Hello, hello. I almost got electrocuted and needed to get a medical marijuana card. Well, I have to say that I am so happy to be in Austin. It's my first trip here, and you have an oasis amidst some of the madness in this universe. And I thank you very much for your hospitality and your beautiful paradise. So I wanted to just to talk a little bit about what we do out in Santa Cruz. We have a medical marijuana collective run by patients, mostly terminally ill patients. 190 of our members have died in 14 years since our inception. Our collective grew after an arrest when my husband Mike and I were arrested for growing marijuana. I've used it for 30 years for epilepsy, and we challenged the law, and we won. Then we were arrested again. Yeah. Well, that didn't stop the cops, right? You know, because sometimes they're a little vindictive. However, we were arrested again, and we again challenged the law. And what grew out of that in 1993 was a collective of patients, people coming together, people who are sick, making community, like you do here in Austin, making community. And out of community grows all that is great, because really what changes this nation and what changes all nations are the people. It's you. It never comes from the top down. All goodness, all greatness comes from the bottom up, from the people up. That is what government is. We are the government. They just can't hear us those 1,000 miles away in D.C. So we started this collective of patients. And in 2002, we were arrested by the DEA on a Thursday. On a Tuesday, we were back from our garden, what was left of it, giving away the pot that we had hidden away and stored away. We haven't missed a meeting since the DEA came to raid us. Why is that? It's because of the people like you. Because in community, everything grows. Strength, nourishment, and easing one another into the process that we all have to face, which is our own death. So we built a little hospice, and what we do is we carry each other, all the things, like we pick up each other's kids from the doctor or take them to school, whatever it is that we need. But we also hold hands, and we stay with one another during the process of dying. And we keep people at home where they want to be. Sometimes their own families are out trying to pay the mortgage. So what we do is we stay with each other. And I recommend that everybody has the same possible ability that we do by joining together. It's about unity. It's about coming together and making a community and working together, even in the face of what seems dark and what seems negative and what seems impossible. It's not. The only thing that makes something impossible is that it hasn't been done yet. So if you come together in this beautiful oasis that you call Awesome Austin, you do it too. That's what this Freedom Fest is about. It's about social change, about creating social policy, and getting out the vote. If you're not registered, you should be registered, and making your community everything that you possibly can to overthrow this regime and create a revolution. The revolution is in your mind. It begins here, in your heart, begins in your head, and it reaches across the nation, and it touches other nations. We are powerful, every one of us. And it isn't in only growing a beautiful garden of marijuana, which is what we do. My husband, Mike, is the agricultural genius. Thank you very much. And that also keeps our patience going. So sometimes you have to sneak it. Sometimes you can do it in the open. We're lucky enough to be able to do it in Santa Cruz. Our city and our county joined us in suing the federal government. And we went back to, yeah, I know, it's pretty fantastic. On July 12th, I went to Congress and was able to give the first testimony on medical marijuana that Congress has ever heard. Yeah, it was amazing to be invited before Congress. I didn't wear this suit, mind you. However, it was remarkable because it was the first time that they'd asked somebody to speak about medical marijuana, but not only the DEA. And we talked to the DEA, and we asked them to please to hear us and to hear our words, that we're not enemies, that it's all human being looking at another human being. We are not separate. We are equal. That's the whole egalitarian principle upon which this nation was founded, our equality. So celebrate our equality. Celebrate our freedom. Join the revolution. You are the revolution. It's right in here. Kick ass, Austin. Thank you very much.
That was Valerie Corral, the co-founder and director of WAM, the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in Santa Cruz, California. She interviewed here on the Audio Stash last week. You can look up that interview on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Valerie was in Austin with her husband and her mom. It really was great meeting them all backstage. Mike Corral, Valerie's husband, helps tend the gardens at WAM. The Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana is a patient collective. 85% of the patients who are members of WAM are terminally ill. Now it's time for our next piece of Austin audio. Got a chance to catch up with Josh Shinberg on the ground there in Austin. Josh and I spoke while the concert was going on at the Normal Table. Everyone had to walk by the Normal Tables to get into the backyard in Austin. Josh at Texas Normal, the Houston Normal, and Dallas-Fort Worth Normal folks did an excellent job making sure Normal had a great presence on the ground. We're here at the backyard in Austin, Texas, with Josh, the director of Texas Normal. He gave us a great intro to this event. Josh, it's turned out to be a great night.
Man, Chris, it's awesome to see this place packed like it is tonight. You know, all these great musicians coming together for marijuana law reform. And, you know, I've seen people out here that didn't even know what these organizations are, and they're just now learning about it at the tables. They're talking to people about it. It's a beautiful thing. Valerie from WAM. She's a great woman, man. She gave a great speech up there when she got on stage. Carolyn Wonderland played one of the best sets I've seen her play. And, man, you talk about a great show.
Right on. And there is, I mean, a huge crowd out here. Everybody was kind of worried, like, oh, not too many people are pre-buying tickets. But everybody bought their tickets at the door, it looks like, tonight.
Yeah, with the weather, the way it's been in Austin this summer, I think a lot of people were waiting to see if it was going to rain before they bought the tickets because it's not very conducive to rain out here, but it's a beautiful night. You know, it's low 80s, upper 70s maybe.
A beautiful night for you Texans. I'm dripping out here, man. It is hot, hot, hot. But there's been a steady traffic here. There's a set of tables right here at the venue for Normal, Houston Normal, Texas Normal, MPP, and also the Austin Chronicle was out here earlier today. So it's really been a nice sort of organizational event, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, MPP's here. I saw Rob Campia earlier, talked to him for a minute. And, of course, Alan from Normal and Keith from Normal are both here. Keith Strop and Alan St. Pierre. And it's just a great night for all these people to get together, you know, talk about ideas that are coming up for this year, because I know there's some big ideas and big plans out there, and it's good to get all these people motivated right now, you know, before we get these plans in motion. We can get some people motivated, get them involved, and help push this stuff through.
Texas is a big state. It can handle the big plans.
Absolutely. You know, there's a large area of Texas to cover, but, you know, Austin is right in the center of it, and it's in the center of the government of Texas, and this is where stuff is going to get done for Texas. You know, there's been bills that have been introduced that I've talked about before on the podcast, both for decriminalization and for medical marijuana. Granted, they haven't passed, but you know what? They've been introduced every legislative session for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 sessions maybe. So, and they're going to be introduced more, you know? We've got MPP working more in the state. Unfortunately, one of our other medical marijuana organizations had to fold, but, you know, go to mpp.org, help them out. Go to normal.org, help us out. Help Texas Normal out, texasnormal.org. Houston Normal's out here. Stop by HoustonNormal.org. Everybody that listens, if you just get involved a little bit, every little bit helps, you know?
Right on. Josh, thanks again for all your help here tonight. Really, we're a real lifesaver in a lot of ways, sort of behind the scenes. Many thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I was glad I could help. It was perfect timing.
It was indeed. Josh, thanks again for joining us here today.
All right, thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate it.
David Beal and the Apple Band with I Like Marijuana. That was found up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. You can catch another version of that by David Beal in the 360s off the High Times Hempelation 1 album. We're going to round out today's show with one of my favorite punk groups ever. This is the Distillers. They have a new incarnation. They're in a new name now. It's called the Spinnerets, but Brody's still leading the band with her belting lyrics out there. We found this track up at the podshow.com website. We've got links to the Distillers up there, up at normalaudiostash.com. Don't forget to book your room for the Normal Annual Conference. It's happening in Los Angeles, October 12th and 13th. High Times is having the Stony Awards. That's the film and video awards that High Times has every year. Last year it was at the B.B. King's Blues Club in New York. This year it's going to be in Los Angeles, which means a whole bunch more celebrities will be there, and celebrities will be in attendance at the Normal Conference as well, including Rick Steves and Tommy Chong. Check it all out, folks. Get your room now for the Normal Conference. In honor of the Normal Conference being in L.A., here is the Distillers with City of Angels. The Distillers there with City of Angels. Brody sure rocks, doesn't she? Can't wait to be out in Los Angeles for the Normal Conference, October 12th and 13th this year. Book your tickets online. We have links to do so right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow.